Today I'm proclaiming God's word from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Spirit, so that in receiving your compassion, we may have faith in you and show love for others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I started the sermon really with the children's address today, just going through the Gospel reading slowly, letting our imaginations settle on the words, if you like, and then keeping in mind the question, could we tell this account back to others? It's a way of meditating on the text, a way of getting into it. I think it's actually, in some respects, a fail-safe way of attending to God's word, thinking, could I hand this on to somebody else? What I've just heard keeps our attention focused. Now, I'm proclaiming today the good news of the gospel from this text, that our Lord Jesus Christ reveals to us the compassion of God. This is a message that we need to hear, because there is so much in life that makes us doubt God's goodness. But scriptures reveal to us the heart of God, that God does not withdraw from human need, but comes toward it, becomes involved physically in compassion to help and to save. So let's break this reading up and go through the narrative. It starts this way. Soon afterwards. Well, soon after what is our narrative taking place? If you go back in Luke's Gospel, you see that we've just heard about the centurion and his servant. The centurion was not one of God's people, the Jews, a Gentile, and yet showed great faith. Faith that Jesus had not seen among his own people. The centurion's servant was healed even with Jesus not being present. Remember that the centurion says, I'm a man under authority. I say to one, come and he comes, to another, go and he goes. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. His servant is healed. Faith is a big part of that previous narrative. But note in today's narrative, the word faith is not there. The key word of today's reading is not faith, but compassion. That's the key word in today's reading. Soon afterwards, Jesus went up to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. Now, Nain is a town in Galilee, not far from Nazareth, not far from Jesus' hometown, in other words. Jesus is travelling with his hand-chosen disciples. And remember that people became disciples by Jesus choosing them, calling them. But he also has a large crowd travelling with him. So it's good to let this settle in our mind's eye to see what's happening. Jesus is on a path with his disciples, but others are looking on, seeing what will happen. Okay. He comes, the text says, approached the gate of the town. Let's think about this location, because we have the characters before our eyes, and now we have some more detail about the location. The town is Nain, but it's at the gate of the town. Let's think about what this represents. The gate of the town is a place where justice traditionally is administered. It's the place, if you like, that demarcates the security and order of human life in city and the potential disorder and chaos of the world outside where the wild animals roam. It's a place that people go in and out of to do their business. And it's at this location that Jesus is going to approach not simply a town, but death. As he approached the gate of the town, the text says, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. Now, I added that behold in there because it's there in the Greek, but most modern translations don't include it because we don't say behold much, right? But it is a narrative device. It's like in a movie having now a close-up. If you hear the word behold, now we're having a close-up. The focus sharpens, comes in. Behold, a man who had died was being carried out. It's a funeral procession at this place of judgment, at this place, this borderland between the town and country. He's been carried out. His fellow has died. He's in a place of absolute helplessness. His body is bereft of spirit. He's headed to the grave. Now, we hear details that are quite pathetic. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. So what we have here is a scene of utter grief. The widow has lost already her husband, of course, and now she has lost her only son. This is not just the grief of losing one that she loves, but also the loss of security, of legal representation, of even hope in this world. She is bereft and alone. Nevertheless, a large crowd is with her, no doubt understanding her lot and the difficulty that she now faces. Now listen to these key words. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her. Jesus paid attention to this scene. He saw the woman. It's not always easy to see people who are in grief. It may remind us of our own grief, the losses that we've had to endure. It may remind us of the path towards death that we are on. It may also threaten us. We may be asked to give of resources we feel that we don't have. We can understand why somebody coming up to a funeral procession might turn away. But Jesus, who is God in the flesh, looks. He sees the widow. And the text says he has compassion. Some translations have, his heart went out. His guts were moved. This same word is used in Luke's gospel in the parables of the lost son. When the younger son comes back, remember, the father who's waiting for him has compassion on him. This word's also used in the parable of the Good Samaritan. When the Good Samaritan sees the fellow half dead on the side of the road, the Good Samaritan has compassion. And notice in those parables, where there is compassion, there is action. When the waiting father sees his son and has compassion, he runs to meet him, welcomes him. When the Good Samaritan has compassion, he binds up the wounds of the half-dead man. So compassion in the scriptures is not just an idea or a pleasant concept. It always shows itself in action. And this indeed is what happens in this story, this narrative we have from Luke's gospel. When the Lord saw her, the text said, he had compassion for her, and the first thing he does is speak. He said to her, do not weep. Now this woman has every reason to weep because of her loss. And it's not as if Jesus is a cold man, because this same word to weep is what Jesus will do later on in the Gospels as he sees Jerusalem and as he foresees what will happen to Jerusalem. Jesus knows what it is to weep. He knows very well why the widow is weeping, but he consoles her because of what will happen next. Then Jesus came forward and he touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, rise. Let's get this in our mind's eye. He comes forward and touches this open coffin where the dead body is. This would be surprising even in our world. Much more surprising in that world, where to touch a corpse or anything to do with death would render one ritually unclean. But Jesus does not stand aloof. He steps forward to the bier and touches it, taking on human uncleanness, taking on human death, taking on the consequence of sin. It's clear even at this point in the gospel what his path will be, that it will be a path to the cross. Now the procession stops at this startling act. But then Jesus speaks his words to the dead young man. Young man, I say to you, rise. When in the Gospels Jesus speaks to the elements of chaos, when he speaks to death, these forces obey him. We came across recently a text from the Gospels where Jesus speaks to human beings and tells them to be quiet. But remember, sinful human beings won't be quiet. When it comes to the forces of death and chaos, Jesus' word has authority. What he says happens will happen, and it does. The dead man, the text says, sat up and began to speak. And Jesus, the text says, gave him to his mother. So Jesus' word is performative. It does what it says it would do. The young man does get up. He begins to speak. But then those curious words, Jesus gave him to his mother. Why would this detail be recorded, do you think, in the gospel reading? Well, one reason I think is that it's an echo of the Old Testament. In fact, the reading that we heard today. A quote from 1 Kings. Elijah took the child who had been resurrected, or raised, I should say, from the dead, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, hear the words, and gave him to his mother. What Jesus did, in other words, was in the mould of the work of that great prophet Elijah. Jesus is showing by his actions that a new and even greater Elijah has come. And indeed, this is how the crowds take it. The text says, fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people. God has visited his people. This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. This is towards the beginning of the gospel. Jesus is doing his ministry work and his reputation is growing. People are recognizing that there's something special about him. And through his actions, they recognize that he is a great prophet. But of course, the text has revealed far more than that to us. He's a prophet, yes, who can raise the dead, but who touches the unclean. He is a prophet who himself is on a path which shows that he is not only a prophet, but the Son of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. God, our Heavenly Father, did not leave us in our need, but had compassion on us and sent his Son, Jesus, who reveals who God is to us, who shows us that God is compassionate in our need, even when we have nothing to give God but our lack. In this text, what did Jesus see? Faith? No. Hope in God? No, he saw a scene of desperation. The widow had nothing to give the Lord except for the corpse of her dead son. The town had nothing to offer up to the Son of God at its gate except for death. And yet the Lord looks in compassion. He is great hope for us as God's people. This is who our God is, one who has compassion on us in our need. It's this message of the gospel that God uses to win our trust. Come to me, my dear sons and daughters. Place your trust in me. I have compassion for you. I can conquer even death. This is the message of the gospel for us today, a message that we need to hear as God's people. Let's simply meditate on this in the week ahead. Think about the good things that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, how God's compassion is revealed to us. And let's let this message shape our hearts so that we live indeed trusting God and showing God's love to others. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.